So the decision has been made to build an arena. Some of the design priorities have been made and a design firm brought on board. But what else needs to be done? Well, in no particular order, here are some of the other issues before a shovel hits the ground. Joshua Bourne of Populous mentioned earlier the importance of site location. I asked Ken Sawyer, the president of the Pittsburgh Penguins, about selecting the right site for the new Console Energy Center.
Well, Pittsburgh is a very interesting place. It's a beautiful city, but it also has some real challenges for transportation because it's got hills and rivers and bridges and so building it in the right place is really important. We found at the end of the day that right across the street from our current arena was the best place because it was, in essence, the hub of a wheel where all the arteries fed out from that area.
Part of site selection will be the determination of whether or not the project is a standalone or part of a neighborhood revitalization program. According to Sawyer in Pittsburgh, that was an issue.
That was another factor in the public benefit of helping us pay for the arena. You know, the public benefits on many fronts, besides keeping the team there and quality of life. Building across the street freed up the old site, which was 28 acres, and this was a major redevelopment opportunity. This is a major redevelopment opportunity right in the center of the city, and it's an area that that needs revitalization. So that was a very helpful and important element to the public side of this.
Now, according to Andrew Kulak from SportsRoadTrip.com, in his experience of visiting all of the major sports venues in North America, he has seen nothing but positives from using arenas as a catalyst for rebuilding neighborhoods.
Well, I think it's important, you know, from the fan experience, absolutely, and that would be my answer. And I'm not sure exactly as the powers that be in Calgary, as they're developing plans for their own, replacement venue for the Saddle Dome. But some of the bigger success stories have occurred where arenas have been built as part of development districts. Right off the top of my head, Columbus, Ohio, comes to mind because the Nationwide Arena is actually located as a centerpiece of what's called aptly the Arena District. And when they built the arena, they also did either revamping of old buildings or infill development of new buildings to mimic the old style buildings. And there in the midst of the arena, you have about 20 restaurants. You've got new condominiums. You have office space, law offices. You have businesses. You have a AAA ballpark has been built next door. And they've built these synergies so that it's not just a place to come to the game, but a venue to experience and an evening to experience as part of a lifestyle. And they are they did it right. And they built this arena district in conjunction with the arena itself. Now, my hometown in Buffalo, New York, we've got the same thing going on where we are now developing a project called Canal Side that's all part of a waterfront redevelopment, but it's been very slow in coming. There's been a little piecemeal development here and there. We finally knocked the old Memorial Auditorium next door, has finally been demolished, and there's a retail center called Bass Pro, a megastore supposed to go in its place. And people love the water, and people love coming down, and hopefully it'll all come to fruition. But some of these areas where you have an arena built amidst other entertainment and lifestyle choices, I think work a lot better. And hopefully it's something you folks in Calgary will give some thought to, because you have such an exciting and vibrant city core, and an arena could do so much to help enhance that.
Now, that's all about the outside of the building. What about the inside of the building? Goes without saying the fan experience is of high priority in a new facility. Things like jumbotrons and ribbon boards are a given in this day and age. Ken Sawyer is the president of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he says the fan experience might be the most important component of an arena's planning.
It's all about the fan experience, and that is number one priority for us, is that our fans feel comfortable, that our seats are comfortable, there's enough leg room. We spend a lot of time coming up with the right size there. We're very happy with the results. The fan entertainment also deals with the audiovisual ribbon boards, as you mentioned. When we designed the arena, we wanted to make sure that we had the ability to have a full circle, or really an oval, ribbon board. In fact, we have two levels of them. In some arenas, we found that, you know, the design chopped them up and you couldn't have that full circle. And that really adds to the fan experience. And then the main element of visual is the scoreboard itself, the video board. And, you know, we wanted to be the latest and greatest. And so we are the only NHL arena with full HD video board. And I'm sure that all the arenas built going forward will probably have that, but we're the first one to have truly the first full HD board. Another element in fan experience is just lighting. You want to be able to concentrate the lighting vertically downwards on the ice, not have it whitewash the scoreboard, and also be able to create a contrast with the seating, much like you do in a theater. You know, where the theater seating is darker than the screen, and so you want to create the stage, if you like, being the hockey rink.
That's a team's perspective, but what about from the designer's point of view? Here's Joshua Bourne on what he thinks is important these days.
What are some of the must-haves in the new buildings? And, you know, we've run through a lot of that. You know, you need the VIP, the premium areas. And really, again, it all comes down to what you're offering your fan. And ticket sales really make up such a small percentage of the overall revenue for these building types that it really comes down to the per caps, the amount per capita, the amount of money that you're getting spent per fan on a game day basis, as well as your sponsorships and your hospitality areas. So between that and technology, I think what you'll start seeing in terms of what you asked for, or what you mentioned, you'll see wider concourses allowing people to get in and out more frequently and move quite a bit more. You also see, you know, the older venues, Joe Louis Arena, for instance. That's I'm from Detroit. I love the venue. It's, you know, it's the holy grail of hockey, in my opinion. It's Hockey Town USA. It's historical. But that building needs to be redone. They do not have enough, you know, they're a single concourse. They're not wide enough. Specifically, as you mentioned, you need more restrooms and more point of sales per person, and that ends up creating a better fan experience, but also generating greater revenues going forward. You really want to make it so that a fan has the easiest time possible in terms of getting up, going to the restroom, and being able to purchase you know, their concessions and merchandise. And that's why, as I mentioned earlier, with some of these new handheld devices and things like that, you're going to start seeing people being able to do some of that from their seat, again, because, you know, it's making a better fan experience. You're letting people essentially not have to, you know, miss any of the game, and yet they can still get everything they need in terms of food and whatnot. So, you know, that's, again, it sounds, you'd think it maybe it's a more exciting answer, but honestly, it just means the newer buildings have more room, more bathrooms, more, you know, more point of sale stations, more people working, which also means more jobs for the economy. So at the end of the day, I think it's all a beneficial thing. You know, and one of the other things I think I missed is, you know, with arenas, obviously, you have that component, but stadiums is a bit different. You're starting to see a lot more retractable roofs as well, or at least thoughts about retractable roofs, because, again, that lends itself to more multi-purpose features. And I think that's actually one of the things that some of the arenas going forward have to concern themselves with. You know, a lot of these stadiums are developing buildings with retractable roofs now in order to win or lure some of these events that previously were being held in arenas. Final Fours for collegiate basketball, Final Four for collegiate hockey most recently, I think, was held at Ford Field in Detroit, 55,000 people, and they set up an ice rink in the middle of a football stadium. Those are done so that these stadiums, which are a bit more expensive, can make sense in terms of economics. But, you know, that definitely has to go into account with these arenas as well. I mean, you plan on having those event days, and, you know, and that's definitely a competitive site, and you're losing some of those days to some of these newer buildings. So I think any sort of new arena would have to account for the ability to, you know, while focused on, you know, their main tenant and their main use, they have to at least have the ability to, you know, be multi-use and offset those costs.
Modern amenities are important, no doubt, but an interesting point was made by Andrew Kulak of thesportsroadtrip.com, who emphatically encourages teams to make sure they connect to their past.
There are some people that probably don't give a flying fig about that sort of thing. We think it's important. We think that murals and banners and historical artifacts and exhibits are what give an arena its character and its soul. And again, around the National Hockey League, there are teams that have done a better job than others. One of the new examples of a team that's done an excellent job are the New Jersey Devils. They moved last year into the new Prudential Center in downtown Newark. and left that horrible arena in the Meadowlands. But now the Nets have left as well, so they're on their way to Brooklyn in a couple of years. In the Prudential Center, there are flags and pennants of every single high school hockey team in the state of New Jersey. They stole that idea from Minnesota, but it was a good idea to steal. They've also got an entire corner of their main concourse devoted to the team's movement and where the franchise was born, which was, I believe, in Kansas City. And then they moved to Colorado and became the Colorado Rockies before moving to the Devils. And there's a very opulent exhibit outlining all that movement and how pictures of their arenas, pictures of their, you know, samples of their old uniforms, pictures of some of the iconic players who were on those teams. And if you enjoy that sort of thing, you would enjoy, spending time and looking at that. So there's an example of a team that's done a good job with that. Here in Buffalo, we have the Greater Buffalo Sports Museum, and they've put all kinds of exhibits and artifacts in the hallways. And they've actually taken pieces of the old Memorial Auditorium and taken it and made a new club restaurant on the 100 Concourse. I'm sorry, an open restaurant where they serve carved roast beef on weck, which was one of our Buffalo food staples. And there you go, and you kind of, reconnect to the old building. And in Atlanta's Phillips Arena, the old scoreboard of the Omni hangs in the main lobby, right suspended in the atrium, and it's fully lit up and it's operational, and there's the old Omni scoreboard. So there, there's another example there. I would talk going to Calgary. My recollection of Calgary was walking into the old Calgary Corral next door.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete and I, the concourse, the building was open, the lights weren't on, the concourses were dark. But man, oh man, we spent 2 hours reveling in the photos of the old Stampede and some of the old Western photos and some of the old hockey photos. And it was a veritable museum, and two little trippers like us really appreciated it. So again, my thought is get a curator, go over and get some of the old stuff and make sure it becomes part of your new building, because that's your heritage. That's your history. And the other area, you guys were hosts for an Olympic game in 1988, and I know some of the venues still stand out there in the hills, and, bring the rings and show some photos and murals of that great moment in your time and when you were, the eyes of the world were upon Calgary.
We are getting close to putting a shovel into the ground, but still a few details to take care of as we design our new NHL building. We'll get to them next.